If you live in Michigan, particularly the eastern UP and the southeast lower peninsula, chances are pretty good you've crossed the border into Canada. And we certainly know our Canadian neighbors are heading over here in hefty numbers. Just check out license plates at Metro Detroit shopping centers for proof. Well, my next guest makes a case for taking these two large countries and merging them into one country. She believes the two would become much stronger for joining together. She's currently editor-at-large at the National Post, a blogger for the Huffington Post, and she's a distinguished professor at Ryerson University's Ted Rogers School of Management in Toronto. Her 9 earlier books focused on politics, immigration, economics and finance, and white-collar crime. Her newest book is Merger of the Century, Why Canada and America Should Become One Country. Author Diane Francis, welcome to Stateside.
Well, thank you for having me.
Your own life story really puts you in a knowledgeable place from which to offer this suggestion because you were originally from Chicago and you're a dual citizen of Canada and the U.S.?
Yes, I am, and I'm a business writer. So I take a very business-like approach to this book. First of all, my bias is that they should join forces even more intensely than they already have. We have free trade, but the border's a problem. It's worse than it was before we had free trade. That's got to be fixed. But there's a lot of other existential reasons why both these countries had better look seriously at coupling up a little bit more intensely.
Well, in fact, your book states that the United States and Canada, in your words, are on a slow-motion collision course with each other and with the rest of the world. How so?
Well, I think the border is thickening. I mean, Detroit, the Ambassador Bridge is just another example, one of the craziest examples of the choke points that are hurting trade. And then, of course, there's the Homeland Security issue, and that has made the border thicker, as it's called. And so that led to a requirement for passports for Americans to re-enter the country from Canada, which plummeted, and our tourism plummeted by 30%. It was a disaster for our tourist industry. And so, you know, Canada is getting damaged by the thickness of the border. But over and above that, you have two countries that are free enterprise countries that now are enmeshed, whether they know it or not, in a new Cold War. It's an economic war. I call it a Cold War because it's with the old enemies. It's with China, Russia, and others who are now formed into state capitalism entities. In other words, their governments run all their corporations. They strategize how to conquer markets, minefields, oil wells, all kinds of things. They are not fair traders. They are protectionists, but they lobby inside our countries to get protectionism eliminated or reduced. And so we are facing this onslaught of large entities that are better organized than us, and our multinational companies are getting clobbered abroad as a result of this. So if the two countries merged, you have a superpower country that is the likes of which nobody can imagine. And how that comes about is that Canada has a population of 35 million people, a little over a tenth of the U.S., and it's spread along the border. 90% of the country is empty, neglected, and absolutely chock-a-block with resource wealth. And Canada is too small to develop it or defend it. China, South Korea, and others have targeted our resources. They're starting to get into our companies. Russia has declared our Arctic Russian, and we have a Navy with 8,500 people. We need a partner to develop and defend. The United States needs the opportunities and the job requirement and the power that would come from controlling the Arctic as well as this resource wealth. And the two of them would be a superpower beyond. That's why I've written this book. Now, very emotional. Canadians don't like the idea at first blush, but then they think about it. And then I took time, about 4 years, to come up with what I call the thought experiment part of the book, and that is different models as to what the benefits would be and different models as to how this could be done, fully or partially.
I'm speaking with author Diane Francis. Her new book is Merger of the Century, Why Canada and America Should Become One Country. And you do spell out many ways in which merging the two could make the U.S. and Canada energy superpower, technological superpower, agriculture, agribusiness. economic. So that all, and that, and you feel that the benefits would be spread evenly?
They would be spread evenly because Canadians would have to get some compensation for this resource wealth they would be bringing into any partnership. That could be in the form of, you know, free health care or something, I don't know, if you did a full-on merger. But it's just beneficial anyway. Canada cannot defend or develop its hinterland, and it's not going to stay a park. It's not going to stay vacant. The world needs those resources, and they're going to come for them. And my point is, let's have our good partners. You know, I've lived in Canada almost 40 years, and I'm a dual citizen. I have seen a convergence. They're not the same people. The cultures are different, and they're both very regionalized too. Let's mm-hmm. not forget. Mm-hmm. But I see these two countries in the fullness, going from being sort of distant cousins to siblings. And I think that there's more reason that they could get along and they could join forces in a much more intense way. Maybe it's going to be eventually a European Union where you get rid of the border, but you keep your federal governments and you do business and people can travel to jobs and that sort of thing. And the hinterland can be developed by everybody.
And you talked in your book about several models for this merger. So you're saying, for example, you could see what East and West Germany did, which is a total merger, or you could see a joint venture.
A joint venture for the North. I could see a European Union type of construct where you create a fourth level of government that coordinates things that are binational in nature. And by the way, Mexico is excluded from this further intensification of the trade relationship.
Because?
Remain a free trade because you can't open the border to Mexico.
Okay.
Mexico's incomes are a third of the United States. They have a crime problem and their institutions are too weak. So you can't open yourself to those kinds of issues. But you keep them as your treasured, you know, trading partner. But the U.S. and Canada should have gotten rid of its border in the 26 years since free trade began between the two countries. Mexico came along later, mm-hmm. just as Europe had done. Europe has 28 countries with all different cultures and legal systems and healthcare systems, and they have no borders because they've figured out how to collaborate on law enforcement, immigration, border requirements, customs duties, all of those things.
But we have seen the EU almost collapse with its currency problems. We've seen mergers, whether it's business or politics and economics, can be very tough.
It can be extremely tough, and it's emotional. And the best mergers in the world don't happen because of personalities. And remember, in order to do anything really dramatic between Canada and the U.S., you require very strong leaders on both sides with the same vision who can lead people, and you need public support. So the reason I wrote this book is to light fires of conversations in both countries to get people to think about it. What I've enjoyed about marketing this book in the U.S. is that so many Americans don't know anything about Canada. Why should they? I don't think it's a nasty comment. And Canadians have got to understand that they have an existential problem going forward. They have too small a population and economy to develop or defend the piece of real estate that they occupy, and they've got to understand that. They don't like hearing it, but they've got to understand it. So we already have seen some interesting responses. 2 weeks ago, I had a lovely letter from Hillary Clinton who said, thought-provoking, good, interesting book, good luck with it. The big business lobby in Canada issued a press release on the eve of meeting your Governor Snyder saying, let's get the border open more than it is now. And they're trying to push the security perimeter initiative. So things are happening and people are recognizing the importance of this relationship.
Although let's say I live in Hamilton, Ontario. I'm a proud Canadian, and I look at the news from the U.S. and boy, the U.S. has had a lot of its dirty laundry aired for the world to see. From, you know, the government shutdown and the sequester cuts and the debt ceiling problems and the horrible rollout of Obamacare and all of the problems associated with overhauling our health care. How would you sell this merger to Canadian citizens?
Well, I don't know that I'm not trying to sell it. I'm trying to tell them they got a problem. They better figure out what to do. And China's not an acceptable partner. We know that. And I have a whole long chapter on how dangerous the world is and how these large state capitalist entities are making huge strides. And they're not necessarily good corporate citizens. In fact, I would argue that they rarely are. So, you know, this is not anything that a small country like Canada can think about. To your answer about all of that, I love both countries. I don't think one is better than the other. And, you know, we have Rob Ford now.
Yes, you have Rob Ford.
We have Rob Ford, but it's not just Rob Ford. You know, there are six mayors, other mayors in Canada, in Ontario and Quebec, who have been, who have either been pushed out, criminally charged, or otherwise have involved themselves in scandalous behavior. Six other mayors. Mr. Ford has a booze and a drug problem, but he's a good mayor. We have four senators who are suspended without pay, two and three of them criminally charged. You know, this is not, Canada is ignored, which is why its flaws, which are probably the same as the U.S., only one-tenth as much, are there. I mean, we both struggle with our own dysfunctional people and our own dysfunction.
Are we not cut from two different, very, very different bolts of cloth? I mean, you point out in your book, Americans are the ones who tossed the tea into Boston Harbor and kicked the British out. Canadians went on paying their taxes and singing God Save the Queen. So can these two become one?
Well, I think they already are merging. 3 million Canadians live in the U.S. That's, you know, that's 10% of the population. 1 million Americans live in Canada. I think there is a protocol difference at the social level. In other words, I think Canadians have inherited from their colonial past a British sensibility. They have nice manners. They dress, deportment, how you eat, how you speak, the volume at which you speak, all these things are very important to Canadians. They're a little snooty in that regard. I think Americans have a Germanic sensibility. The biggest ethnic group in the U.S. is German Americans, more than African Americans and Hispanic Americans. I myself am half German background. A lot of Americans are. And the Germanic sensibility is more blunt, more aggressive, great work ethic. Canadians don't have the work ethic that Americans have. Terrific scientific and engineering expertise and manufacturing expertise. That is the sort of overlaying sensibility of the U.S. It's Germanic and the other one is British.
Really interesting thoughts from author Diane Francis. Her book is Merger of the Century, Why Canada and America Should Become One Country. Diane, thanks for talking with us on Stateside.
Thank you so much.